Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come around your word this morning. We thank you that your word is powerful. We thank you that your word revives us. Thank you that your word restores us. Thank you that your word brings clarity into every situation in our lives, Father. We thank you this morning, and Holy Spirit, you're welcome to minister this morning. We pray that you'll have your way. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, who enjoyed Natty's communion message? Because I know I did, because I was sitting up the back and I said to Tony, I said, I can just sit down and not have to do my sermon today. She mentioned the word stress. And who knows, we're in this series of being transformed. And we've been talking about being transformed in your spiritual health. Well, today we're focusing on being transformed in your physical health. So we've been talking about being transformed in your physical health. And by way of introduction this morning, and as I've been thinking over the last couple of days about what it is that I was going to speak on, I found myself becoming all the more stressed. I had this thought going here, I had this thought going there, and I was thinking about this. But one thing I know is that as we come expectant, God's going to meet us and enlarge that expectation. So this morning, and actually, we're only into our second topic of this Transform series, but are you expecting God to transform you? Because we can come in here and not have that expectation that God's going to transform us, and the sad reality is it may not occur. But if you come expectant, God will meet you and transform you. Like, I was thinking about it like this, and let's just say that you walk into Coles and you're walking up and down the aisles and you've got no intentions of buying something, but you're just walking up and down the aisles, and then you walk out completely empty-handed. Like, I don't know about you, but if I saw that occur, I'd probably think that person's sussing out this place for something, some untoward activity that they're going to do at a later stage. I know that if you're a lady, that the thinking between a man and a woman on walking around a shop just window browsing is completely different. But if you were to walk around Coles and just window shop and look, oh, gee, that's nice toothpaste. I've got no intentions of buying it. I don't think that's going to happen. But if you go in with the expectation of what you're going to get, you're going to get it. You go in with your expectation. This morning, have you come expectant that God's going to transform you? God's going to change you. And I've enjoyed, we started our Connect group this week, and it was great to just think about our spiritual health and the factors that God says is going to transform our spiritual self. Well, this morning we're going to move that to our, spiritual self. And just bear with me for a moment while I get my notes sorted. There we go. So this morning we're going to actually talk about stress, and we're going to talk about some factors that God says for dealing with stress. And I don't know about you, I've stressed about a lot of things. You know, like I was stressing about, oh, should I include that story? Should I talk about this? Or I've stressed about how much money I've got in the bank. And you know, like, and stress, we all have it. We all live with it. We all deal with it day to day. Each of us stress to some capacity. We stress about this. We stress about that. We stress about if our hands are too clean. We stress about if our house looks okay. We stress about everything. But what God's word says is that if we actually align ourselves to his word, we don't have to stress because he's got everything under control. And that's what I enjoyed about Nat's message. And I was even thinking about at school. There was this time at school when teachers would, when you'd see a kid that was a little bit stressed or anxiety, you'd have this stress ball, you know, and you'd get the kid and you'd give him this stress ball and you'd say, just hold that, and by squeezing that, that would just release the stress and you'd be all okay. And I remember having one of those as a kid, or you'd make one, and mine usually ended up being a projectile to throw at one of my brothers, but you'd have that, you'd deal with the stress. But chronic stress is our body deals with it. Our body, we live with it. But if we live with it continuously, it's not a good thing. It's not a positive thing. It's not a productive thing. It's not the way that God's intended us to live. So this morning I actually specifically want to look at stress on your body and what the Bible says is a remedy for dealing with stress. Just common stresses in our lives. So this morning if you're a little bit tired, if you're a little bit worn down, a little bit stressed out, you picked a good morning to come to church because we're going to deal with that this morning. But before we go to Psalm 23, which is our passage this morning, before we go to Psalm 23, I just want to outline some of the causes of stress. So then when we look at our passage, we can see how that's a remedy. It's like if you've got a cold, you give yourself cough mixture as a remedy for that cold. Well, if we know what the causes of stress are, we're then able to ensure that we've got the remedy for that. And one of the number one cause of stress is worry. Worry. You know, we worry about lots of different things. We worry about so much more now than even when I was a kid. Like worrying about identity theft. That's something that's only new. Worrying about things that are only relevant now that didn't occur, say, 20 years ago. We worry about things. And that's the greatest cause of stress for anybody is worry. The second one is hurry. So we've got worry, but we've also got hurry. You know, hurry comes from this increasing pace that's in our lives. And I'm just thinking about my week. I hurried from one thing to the next thing to the next thing all week long. Hurry is another area that causes stress in our lives. Another area that causes stress in our lives is multiple choices or numerous choices. I don't know how many times on a Friday night, like Friday night in our household, particularly in football season, is I'll sit down in front of the TV and watch footy and we'll get takeout. And it usually goes like this. And like Narendra doesn't have an array of takeaway choices, but I'll say, Tane, what do you want for dinner tonight? Her response, I can probably guarantee it's going to be whatever you want. Well, I don't really know what I want, so what do you want? Because I'll have what you're having. You know, like choices are an area that cause stress. And I know there's been times where I've probably stressed Tane out by saying, you tell me what you want, and when you tell me, I'll go get it. Well, you tell me what you want. No. I said that first, so you tell me. So it's sort of like the array of choices that we've got cause stress in our lives. Another area is it's sort of in modern society is this loss of privacy. It doesn't matter where we go, we can become stressful because privacy is no longer a big thing. No matter where we go, we're always like, we had someone last week who rang up, said they were interested in some casual work. They sent through an email and outlined their skill set. And the first thing that I do whenever I, because I'm the one who organises casuals at our school, the first thing that I do whenever I get a casual application is I go straight to Facebook. And I look up that person to see what their profile pic is, to see what clothes they're wearing. And does their clothes they're wearing possibly match the character of someone that I'd be happy to employ? You know, and if I get the profile pic with the hat back the front and this sort of stuff, I'm going, do I want you working with a kindergarten kid? You know, like privacy, we just don't have it anymore. People can look us up. Like I've got kids in my class. And I use a reward. Like there's this one particular girl in my class that was taught by Tone last year. And she absolutely adored Tone. And so like my reward for her when she made great choices is I might show her a photo of our babies. Well, the other day, I was saying to her, hey, if you don't make better choices, I won't share that photo. And she replies with, don't care anyway. I'll just go on Instagram when I get home and search for Mrs. Campbell. Like, privacy is no longer a thing anymore. We're just, so like, we can be stressed because people are always looking at us. And the last, I think it's the second last one that causes us worry is this idea of pluralism. Pluralism. Now we're thinking, well, what's that? We now live in a world where people so often have different ideas, different beliefs, different lifestyles, different convictions than us. And because of that, this can potentially cause conflict. What if they don't agree with me? What if they see things differently to me? Oh, that might be stressful to actually deal with that. And that can cause stress in our lives. And the last one is, and I think Nat touched on this, the fear of the future. The whole notion of what ifs. What if I don't get that job? What if I don't have money in my bank account when I want to do that? What if? And it's the what ifs that can cause stress in our lives. What if? What if this occurs? What if that occurs? And there's so many what ifs that if we sit there and we think about the what ifs, we're just going to be stressed. Because there's so many variables that you and I can't control that we need to look to God to. So we're going to look at this, these things in Psalms, and they're sort of like, you know how you'll go to the doctor and they'll say, okay, give me a look inside your mouth. Tell me, I'm going to hear your breathing. And they do all these little simple tests. And then they determine what the condition is that you've got. And then by determining that condition, they're able to give you a remedy. Well, if we look at ourselves and we say, oh, well, I've got fear of the future. I'm constantly saying, what if? You've probably got stress. You're probably stressed. So we can look at these and you might have one or two of them. You might have all of them. But as you look at them, use them as a tool to determine whether you're stressed. Use them as a tool like a doctor would to prescribe you something. But what we're going to do now is we're going to look at a text in Psalm 23 that prescribes the remedy for how to deal with stress. And in Psalms 23, I'm just going to read it from the Amplified Version because I really liked how it was worded in the Amplified Version. It says, starting from verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd to feed, to guide and shield me. I shall not lack. He makes me lie down in fresh, tender, green pastures. He leads me beside the still and restful waters. He refreshes and restores my life, myself. He leads me in the path of righteousness, up righteous and right standing with him, not for my yearning it, but for his name's sake. Yes, though I walk through the deep sunless valley of the shadow of death, I will fear or dread no evil, for you are with me, your rod to protect, your staff to guide, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My brimming cup runs over. Surely, or only goodness, mercy, and unfailing love shall follow me all the days of my life. And through the length of my days, the house of the Lord and his presence shall be my dwelling place. How cool was that? Like I was just thinking about that. And that verse is, that chapter is such a well-known chapter. A well-known chapter. So many people love that chapter. Well, it actually says in Proverbs 14:30. Now, when we think about physical health, I'm not coming in here and I'm not going to say, okay, stand up. We're going to do some aerobics. You know, come on, let's do it. We've got to get our physical health. I've actually done that at home once. And we're out the back, and this is just a side story. Just when I jumped, it reminded me of it. We actually had a rope out the back, and Mikey was saying, I said, Mikey wanted an ice cream. He had a skipping rope. I said, if you can do 20 skips, I'll give you this ice cream. And so he's going, all right, yeah, he's gone. And then anyway, how it turned out was it ended up being a competition of me versus him. And we had to see who could get to the 20 skips first. So he'd have a go, then I'd have a go. He'd have a go, then I'd have a go. Well, whilst this was happening, Tone and Mum were obviously sitting over in the corner on a bench having a conversation. And they looked over and all of a sudden Tone and Mum were just absolutely cacking themselves. And I thought, what's going on here? Is everything all right? And Tone was actually laughing at my physical body wobbling up and down whilst I was trying to skip. So sometimes when we think of physical health, we think of our physical physique. And I know my physique's not that crash hot. And so this morning we're not talking about, okay, let's go to the gym and let's pump weight and then our physical body's going to be all ship shape and looking really good. We're not talking about that. We're talking about areas in our lives that stress can inhibit. But who wants to be healthy? You know, like I don't think anyone says, oh, I don't really care. But it actually says in Proverbs 14:30, peace of mind makes the body healthy. Peace of mind makes the body healthy. It's not always what you eat. What you eat, that makes you unhealthy. Not always that. It's not always the food you put in your mouth that makes you unhealthy. It actually says in a relaxed attitude lengthens a man's life. A relaxed attitude lengthens a man's life. Who doesn't want to have that? So this morning I'm just going to focus quickly on seven spiritual habits that reduce stress. And they can all be found in Psalms 23. They can all be found there. And the first one is, we need to look to God to meet all my needs. Look to God to meet all my needs. The first thing David says we need to do is we need to look to God to meet all my needs. And it's that calms me down. That's the way that I'm not going to be disappointed, because I'm going to trust in God. You know, this single change in your life, you stop looking at people to meet your needs. You stop looking at different things to meet your needs. I remember Tone, and I remember how heartbreaking it was for Tone as a young lady who loved to dance. And then she went from, okay, I find my identity, my needs, my wants in this one area. And then God began to break that down brick by brick. To say, no, I want you to find your needs and have them met in me. Not in this thing, not in your husband, not in your kids. Like, we've got people at work who have self-validation from their children. No, that's not good. That's not healthy. But what we need to do is we need to look to God to meet our needs. Look to God to meet our needs. It says in Romans 8, since God did not spare his own son for us, but gave him up for us, won't he also surely give us everything else we need? So why do we stress about everything when we know that he's got the best interest of us at heart? You know, the logic there is obvious. If God loved you enough to send Christ to die, don't you think he loves you enough to take care of you? So we need to look to God to meet all your needs. Look to him to meet all your needs. Point two is this. I need to obey God's instruction about rest. Rest. It's okay to rest. It's okay to relax. It's okay to unwind. I remember in July, I took a month off work deliberately to rest, deliberately to spend time with family, deliberately to relax. And do you want to know something? At the end of that month, I had about 600 unread emails. I only read one or two people would send me an email, and they're the only ones I'd read. Why? Because I deliberately said, I want to relax. Relax. I know that, and I know this now better than I did a couple of years ago, that work will be there tomorrow. That email will be there tomorrow. That issue that needs to be dealt with probably doesn't need to be dealt with then and there. It will be there tomorrow, and that's okay. But we need to give ourselves the right to relax, to rest, to recuperate. You see, it says in Psalms 23, he says, he makes me lie down. Lie down. It's important to rest. Like, and as you think about this, like, we're meant to, they say it's healthy for our body to have 8 hours sleep a night. If God didn't think rest was important, he'd probably say when he made us to just not let us rest. Because when you think about it, we spend about a third of our lives sleeping. That's a third of our lives wasted. But it's not actually wasted, because we can't function effectively unless we rest, relax. Find the thing that is going to rest your soul. You see, there's a reason why they have the Sabbath, to say to rest on that. And it's three things that it does. It's for rest for my body, rest for my, refocus my spirit, and recharge my emotions. And I was thinking about this, like, most people in this day and age have got some sort of smartphone. Some sort of smartphone. Unless you've got a really, really old one, like a Nokia 3315, that would probably still be running off the battery that you had it in. You need to charge your battery. Like, this phone can last a couple of days without being recharged. Can last a couple of days. But then I have to plug it in to be recharged. The same occurs with each of us. Is we need to have the Sabbath of rest, and rest is like our opportunity to recharge our battery, to refocus our attention, to realign our emotions. We need to recharge ourselves. That's point two. Point three is, so this is one of my favorites, is we need to recharge our soul with beauty. We need to recharge our soul with beauty. This recharges us. This revives us. This realigns us to where He is. Because it says in Psalms 23, it says, we know He makes us lie down, but then it says He makes us lie down in lush green meadows. Why? Because they're beautiful. They're beautiful. Beauty inspires. Beauty enlarges. Like, have you ever walked along and just saw a flower and thought, gee, that flower's beautiful? I've never really noticed that. Gee, that's beautiful. Well, when you see things that are beautiful, it actually recharges us. We're visual beings. We see things visually, and as we do, we are revived. And that's a remedy for stress. Like, go out and smell, they say, go out and smell the roses. Slow down. Go and look at the beauty in nature. Like, God's created all this beauty. Why? Yes, it displays Him, reflects Him, but it's for us to look at and be revived and be recharged. And as we do, stress is eliminated from our very being. So get outside. I like what Nat said, where she said, start the day. Well, not necessarily start the day, but it's somewhere during the day. Get off media. Get off social media and spend time with Him. Spend time with Him. Intentionally put beauty around you. Now, I was having a joke to myself. When I wrote that one, I thought I could quite easily say, and that's why I married Tone. And you all go, ah, he's got brownie points. But like, when you think about it, that's why you're with someone. Because there's beauty all around you. Point three, go to God for guidance. Go to God for guidance. This is important because a common source of stress in your life is indecision or being indecisive. But if you go to God for guidance and you're led by His Spirit, you're able to then make up your mind. And that's not necessarily about the decision of what you're going to have for dinner. What am I going to have for dinner tonight? Chinese or fish and chips? God, can you show me that? He's interested in the little things, but it's more so go to Him for guidance. You may have too many choices, but He can give you the right answer for every choice. He can give you the right response for every choice. If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all men liberally and doesn't condemn them or criticize them. So that's found in James. He gives generously. He gives graciously. God is wanting to give you wisdom. I remember as a kid, as about an 11 or 12 year old when I just started reading the Bible, someone says to me, if you want to be smart, read Proverbs. So I remember for this 12 month period, I just over and over, I read Proverbs. That's all I read. Proverbs. And the wisdom that you can find in Proverbs is going to guide your life. Go to Proverbs if you need help in that area. He guides me in the right path for His name's sake. He guides me. He guides me in the right path. Point five, trust God in the dark valleys. Who knows, life's sometimes difficult. Life's not always easy. Sometimes we have ups. Sometimes we have downs. Sometimes we can go through a loss. We can go through a time where bad stuff happens. And as we do, we're at a T-intersection there. We can do one of two things. We can have one or two reactions. We can decide to fear the unknown, fear the what if, fear that. or we can go to grief. Now, grief is good. Fear's not. Grief is good because it allows us to respond effectively and deal with stress appropriately. What does it say in verse 4? It says, yes, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear or dread no evil, for you are with me. Your rod is there to protect me, and your staff to guide me. They comfort me. Find your comfort in him. He's going to protect you. He's going to guide you. He's going to lead you. And as he does, you're going to find yourself in a better place than you were beforehand. Let God be your defender. You see, because another common source of stress is conflict. We don't like, by human nature, we don't necessarily like conflict. We don't like opposition. We don't like attacks. You see, but there's, to put it quite simply, there's people in this life that are not going to agree with you. I don't know how many times I say to kids at school, you don't have to like everyone, but you do have to get along. I say that to the kids all the time. You don't have to like them, but you do have to get along. Because there's going to be people who have different opinions, different beliefs, different ways of parenting, different ways of doing this, different ways of living, and that is all okay. But if you let God be your defender, I remember a few years ago, I'm going to be a little bit honest, a little bit raw. I remember a few years ago, Tony and I were going to a church in Brisbane. And we went up to church this one Sunday. And the pastor was, you're going to find this very hard to believe, I know. But this actually occurred. The pastor was standing at the door and he said, Jeremy and Tony, you're not welcome in this congregation today. I said, okay, why's that? No idea. Oblivious 19-year-old. And anyway, he wouldn't allow us to go in. No worries, that's fine, we'll go. And then people from the church were saying, if you can't, I was a bit shell-shocked. So we'd go to different people from the church, and someone had spread a rumour about us. And I remember saying to Tone, don't worry about it, Tone. The truth, God will allow the truth to prevail. God will defend us. We don't need to. Now, for me, that was a little bit easier than Tone, I will be honest. Tone was ready for, I'm going to get them back. You know, they've done the wrong thing, and the truth's going to prevail. And she was well right with thinking that. Because it was what was happening to us wasn't right, wasn't truthful, wasn't factual. But who knows, I'll tell you the end of the story. 3 years later, the pastor of that church came up. We were at somewhere, at a different conference somewhere, and he ran into us. And he actually said, for 3 years I've been hoping to run into you because I treated you wrongly and I apologize. The truth, God is our defender. Would you allow God to defend you and not be stressed in, the different things that people say about us? Because if we do, then stress is going to be eliminated in our lives and our physical body is going to be transformed. And the last one, point 7, expect God to finish what he starts in me. You see, I expect God to finish what he starts in me. Any person who is afraid of the future, are you a what-ifer? I'm a what-ifer, and I think I could probably say Nat might be a what-ifer as well when she was talking about it. What if? What if this happens? What if that happens? What if? There's so many what ifs. What if? And I think the what if can lead to the most stress. What if this doesn't turn out? I see people not ask someone out to have a coffee because what if they say no? What if they say yes? What if that's who God actually wants you to spend your life with? I know that's a corny example, but what if? What if? Is what you expect. You see, you can look to your future as two ways. You can say, what if everything goes wrong? What if it doesn't turn out? And I'll get the musicians to come up as I close. What if I don't have enough money? What if I lose my job? What if somebody walks away from me? What if? What if, what if, what if? You can do that, or you can look to the future and say, surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What do you expect? What do you expect? Expect God to finish what He's begun in you. There's going to be a finished work. Now we can stress, and don't get me wrong, I stress. I'm going to be honest with you. There's different things that I stress about. What about this? What about that? Or I hurry through life. I hurry through life at different times. And as I do, I find myself becoming more stressed. Like I think about my work sometimes. Think about how many choices we have. Think about our privacy. Whatever it is, and we can stress about that. But God says He's so interested in our physical self that He wants to transform that so that we don't have to stress. It's like going from being a stressed person to a blessed person. Let's transform the way that we respond. Let's transform the way that we react to different situations, because God's interested in every area of our lives. So Heavenly Father, we thank You for who You are. We praise You for who You are. We thank You that You're interested in our physical bodies. You're interested in every area of our lives. And this morning we just praise You and say, God, even in the physical, would You come? Would You speak? And the areas that we need to give to You, will we do that in a time of worship? Will we come to Your very presence? And as we come to Your very presence, would You guide us? Would You direct us? Would You change us? But would You change us from the inside out? Change from the inside out is transformation. Would You transform our physical bodies so that we can come to You for guidance? Would we allow our bodies to relax, to rest, to recharge our soul? Would we find our peace in You this morning? In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if anyone hasn't tapped into a connect group, there's a range of connect groups on, and I strongly encourage everyone, go to a connect group. You know, like in our connect group last week, we had half a dozen people. You know, in our community of that connect group is where transformation is going to occur, where we pray with one another, we agree with one another. So tap into a connect group. But go expectant. Expect God to transform us. Expect God to change us. If you're not one that normally goes to a connect group, grab one of those sheets of paper and commit to one. Commit to one. If you've missed 1 week, that's fine. Come have a chat to Trevor or I. I'm happy to lend you the DVD. And you can tap in. Because I think it's really, really important. Thanks, Zach and the team.